or tape CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2011 Thanksgiving Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Saturday evening, November the 27th, 2011. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Christians Can Be Under Curses.
Lord, we just come before your throne. And if you don't anoint this message and cause it to penetrate hearts, it's a waste of time. So, Father, I ask you to loose angels with spiritual tape recorders to put in our hearts, to minister to us and to record your word. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the living word of God. We praise you, we bless you, we exalt you. And, Lord, I pray you give us all ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand so that we can turn and be healed. Basically, tonight, I'm just going to read the Bible to you. Is that okay? I want to take you through several areas. I was going to teach, I had two messages I was going to teach, and just before I came, the Lord started telling me what I was supposed to do. I mean, I already had it all figured out. So I don't know what He's going to do. I don't even know everything about it, but I'm just going to be obedient. But the first thing I want to say is you don't have to be afraid of demons. You don't have to be afraid of witches. You don't have to be afraid of warlocks. You don't have to be afraid of Satan. For 20 years of the 30 that I've been in ministry, I ministered to people that had come out of satanic ritual abuse. And they said, you know, we're going to get you and that lady with white hair. We're going to get you. They're all dead now, and I'm still alive. Had I not learned what I'm going to share tonight, I would have been open to a lot of bad things. But I can say in all those years, I never had one that I know of set foot on my property. The Bible says that He appoints understanding and discretion to guard you and watch over you. Amen? But the Scripture says that a curse without a cause cannot light. Now, Debbie taught today a wonderful message. It was so good. She's so knowledgeable about New Age. And if you've got New Age stuff, go to Debbie, because she really knows a lot about it. And I don't know if I can paraphrase the story she told about a factory who had a big piece of machinery. I hope I'm telling this right, Debbie. And something was wrong with the machinery, so they called in this expert, and he said, there's a screw loose right there. You need to put a screw right there. And he sent him a bill, $1 for the screw and $19,999 for the advice to put where to put the screw. I want to tell you that God tells you where the screws are loose through His Word. He said He sent His Word to heal you. He sent His Word to heal you. And let me tell you something. I can start reading the Word, and you know, if I'm telling cute little stories, you can listen forever. But the Word burns the demons. And it hammers them. The Bible says the Word of God is a fire and it's a hammer that breaks rock. That's why when maybe you're out trying to share something with somebody that's got a religious spirit and you can just feel the walls going up, it's burning their demons. They don't like to be around you. I used to take that personal. And then I realized that it's because the Word of God is burning them, the fire of God's Word. Now, Jesus is the Word of God, right? In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father. Now, when I read the Word, or when you read the Word, and when you do it out loud, you are creating a Word atmosphere, and you're bringing in the presence of Jesus. And that's why it's important to read the Word out loud. Years ago, I started praying for the last 40 years. A friend taught me how to pray the Word of God. my grandchildren, I know, are the fruit of praying for them for 40 years, their mates and my descendants throughout eternity. I prayed. I had a living Bible back then, and I used every scripture in the Word of God that I could make a prayer, and I prayed the Word of God over my children and over myself. And because faith comes by hearing, when you pray it out loud, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So when you're speaking the Word, you're hearing it and it's increasing your faith, and it's a perfect prayer. And if you have children or you have descendants, begin praying now for their mates, for your descendants throughout eternity. And God will honor your prayers, even in the people they marry. My granddaughter got married 2 years ago, and they are so happy because she married the man that God had for her. And so what the first thing I want to do is I want to show us through the Word, the Holy Spirit's going to show you, that you are the Israel of God. We are spiritual Jews. And so I first want you to go to, I'm just going to take you through scriptures to show things in the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. But go to Romans chapter 3, please. And I hope you brought your Bible, because we're going to be reading a lot of scripture. And, you know, nowadays it's hard to find a place that teaches the Word of God. And that's why people don't even know what sin is. And that's why the church is sick. Okay, in Romans chapter 3, and I hope I can find it because I didn't mark the thing. In chapter 2, verse 27, "And will he not who is physically uncircumcised, if he keeps the law, will he not be judge you?" Let's see, verse 28. "For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that which is of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter, and his praise is not from men, but from God." Okay, the next place, go to Romans chapter 9. I can't believe I used to could read this without my glasses. Praise the Lord. But I'm going to read it tonight in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 9, verse 8. "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for all are not Israel who are descendants from Israel. Neither are they all children, because they are Abraham's descendants. But through Isaac your descendants will be. That is, it is not the children of the flesh who are children of God, but the children of the promise are regarded as descendants of Abraham." So when you read in the Old Testament about Israel and about the Jews, that's a physical picture of a spiritual Jew. What's happening in the physical, you can apply it to the spiritual Jews. And that's us. Okay, go to Galatians chapter 3, please. Verse 25. It says, "But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ, and if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." And then in 4:28, it says, "And you brethren," as brethren of believer, "you brethren, like Isaac, are children of promise." And so those are just a few scriptures that tell us that we are spiritual Jews because we're born again believers. Okay, another misconception that people have is that, oh, now that we're under the new covenant, we don't have to pay any attention to the Old Testament. Matthew 5 says, if you teach the Old Testament is not important, you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, when you read the Old Testament, you'll find some of the same scriptures in the New Testament. I want to take you through scriptures now that show you that the Old Testament is just as important as the New Testament. Jesus taught out of the Old Testament. Go to Luke 24:25, please. That's just a misconception. And for when someone just teaches, just, you know, you can just teach in the New Testament, but if you're trying to prove some kind of point, you better use both the Old and the New. Luke 24:25, verse 44. Now he said to them, that's Jesus, these are my words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all the things which are written about me, that's Jesus, in the law of Moses, that's the Old Testament, and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he, Jesus, opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. Okay, go now to Acts 13:40. Well, let's see. Let's go to Acts 24:14 first. 24:14 says, "But this I admit to you, that according to the way which they called a sect, I do serve the God of our fathers, believing everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets." That's the Old Testament. Genesis through Malachi. "Having a hope in God, which these men cherish themselves, that there shall certainly be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked." Okay, let's go to Acts 28:23, verse 22. "But we desire to hear from you what your views are for concerning this sect. It is known to us that it is spoken against everywhere." In other words, Christianity is spoken against everywhere. "And when they had set a day for him," Jesus, "they came to him," or Paul, "at his lodging in large numbers, and he was explaining to them by solemnly testifying about the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and from the prophets," Joshua through Malachi, "from morning until evening. And some were being persuaded by the things spoken, but others would not believe." Okay, let's go to Acts 3:22 through 26. "Moses said, 'The Lord God shall raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren who I have,'" okay, let me see if I have any more in Acts. Okay, go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 46 and 47. "For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, Jesus said, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" So if I don't believe the Old Testament, how am I going to believe God's words? Okay, let's look at another one. Let's look at Luke chapter 4, verse 16. You know, this is kind of basic, but it's something we need to see because this comes up all the time. Oh, we're in the New Covenant now. Okay, Luke chapter 4, verse 16. It says, "And he came to Nazareth, and that was Jesus, where he had been brought up, and as was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read." Now Jesus is standing up to read the Old Testament. "And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor.'" I want to say this too. We are commanded to preach the gospel, heal the sick, and cast out demons.
Amen.
Preach the gospel is bringing someone to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance. Would you agree that if the devil owns the lost people, is that right? The Bible says you are of your father, the devil, and it talks about salvation being translated from the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God's dear Son. You change kingdoms. Would you agree if Satan's behind sickness and disease and demonization, if I'm going to try to heal somebody and cast demons out of somebody that's lost, what point is that? They couldn't hold it anyway. Because you got to be born again. So Jesus' message was repent, 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 for the kingdom of heaven is here. And so preach the gospel comes before healing and deliverance. It's a false doctrine that we can, because if the devil owns somebody, God's got to own him first. Or if he's owned by the devil, he's already full of demons. You can cast him out all day long. So you've got to get them into the right kingdom, then do kingdom work on them. In a lot of these false revivals, that's what they do. They go out and they will say, who needs healing? Who's sick? And they'll go out, and I've watched many of those videos, and they don't lead them into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They transfer this kundalini thing on them, and all of a sudden, the devil doesn't mind to back off a demon or two if he can get your heart, if he can get a bigger demon in you. Okay, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Romans 15:4. Now, we're in the New Testament, right? I want to make sure you know we're in the New Testament. Romans 15:4. It says, for whatever was written in earlier times, that's the Old Testament, is that right? Was written for our instruction that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. Okay, let's go to another one. Let's go to Luke 16:31. You know, a few years ago, I guess it was about the time I started taking my grandson to New York City, and I knew he was watching me, so I knew that I needed to not let nobody get by me without telling them about Jesus. And doing that 2 years, we passed out probably 100 tracts each time we went. And God has used that to get that boy so on fire for the Lord. But I was convicted a couple of years ago. What if I stand before the Lord and He says to me, Jerry, there were people dying and going to hell all around you and you did not tell them about me. And I was thinking, I don't want to stand before the Lord and Him say, Jerry, you let all these people get by me without telling them about me. And so I purpose in my heart from now on, I will witness and ask every person. And sometimes I let people by, but I know that God has made me aware of it. And 90% of the time, I'm telling everybody that I come in contact with about Jesus. And because of the times we're living in, I can't tell you how many people I sell puppies to that come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're more open to the gospel than a lot of church members. Okay, where did I say go? Luke 16:31. But he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if someone rises from the dead. And I think it was talking about the rich man that went to hell in that case. Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 1. It says, This is now, beloved, the second letter I am writing to you in which I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the words spoken beforehand by the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking following after their own lusts. And you can see now how the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ has been perverted in churches. And Paul called them the enemies of the cross. And those of you who've been in ministry know that if you're truly in it to help people, there's no money in the ministry. You'll have to have, like me, a tent-making job. And you see all of that, if God gives you a mega church, that's fantastic. But I really believe the Lord has shown me that these places have been paid off by the One World Order to water down the gospel, where sin is not being talked about. There's no holiness. There's no word. There's no repentance. There's no fear of the Lord. And just false, some of these false prophets, I'm telling you, they're some. They're unbelievable. Sometimes people send me something that these fruitcakes sent me, and used to I would give them a little reply, a little smart aleck remark, but now I just delete it. I'm not mad anymore. I mean, I was incensed. I couldn't believe that some of the things they do and some of the things that they... I know one, there's a real popular one in Texas, and he sent out one on fanning the glory in your blood. I said, what does fanning the glory in my blood have to do with it? I thought it was the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And then another one he sent out that God's raising up a highway and sinners can get on it. Isaiah 35 says, no fool, no lion, no sinner will get on the highway of holiness. And I emailed him. I said, you are leading so many people astray. He said, you don't understand. I'm taking you off my mailing list. You just don't understand. Maybe when they get on the highway of holiness, they'll change. You know, we better know what God's Word says. Otherwise, you're going to be one of those that says that, and God help us, because none of us, all of us are a work in progress. I mean, the more I follow God, the more I know I don't know what I know. I mean, I know what I know, but I don't know everything I need to know. But I want to know God. I want more of Him. But we better know what God's Word says, or you'll be deceived by the false lying. And you know what? In some of these meetings, it's like the demons just do all kinds of tricks. They do superficial healing. They can just really show up and put on a show. And I was thinking the other day, that's why so many kids get into Harry Potter. Is because they don't see no power, real power in the church. So they get into Harry Potter and they start doing the spells and all that, and they can see the demons do all kinds of things. And so my little, my grandson, he's in a situation to where somebody that he's pretty close to, I mean, it's not his friend, but it's his roommate at college is into reading Harry Potter books. And I had asked God to give him a Christian roommate. Well, he gave him one that has a heart for the Lord. But I said, you know what, David? God has used this to give you a lesson in spiritual warfare. Every day, I want you to break the curses. I want you to bind every spirit in your room. Say, no demon's going to work in here. And I want you to do warfare. Break and bind curses. And I said, and pray this way. I send back on the enemy. Now, the enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. But I send back on the enemy every curse assignment and ritual that's been spoken over me 7 times over, unbroken and in full force, not to hurt them, kill them, harm them, but so that it'll scare them so bad that they'll think, how dare I curse something that God's blessed. I said, you know what? God's going to use that to show your roommate that there's more power in David's God than in his Harry Potter stuff.
Amen.
And so, Lord, we just pray that He'll begin to do that. He said, I'll do it, Grandmother. Okay, the next thing, go to, look in verse 14 through 16, says, therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, spotless and blameless, and regard the patience of our Lord Jesus to be salvation, just also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given him, as also in all his letters, speaking in them of these things in which are some things hard to understand, which the untaught and the unstable distort, as they do also the rest of the scriptures to their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men you fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of our eternal amen. Eternity. Amen. You know, if we ever quit overcoming, we get overcome. Is that right? And that's one of the roots of Alzheimer's. Romans 1, even though they knew God, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped the creature rather than the Creator. And God gave them over to a reprobate mind. There's Alzheimer's right there. You can't ever be in a place that you don't keep on overcoming. And all of us, you know, every last one of us, you can be as repentant as you know how to be, and there's stuff that's hidden that you don't even see. Like Debbie was sharing today, all these years she went through wanting to get delivered, and then in the day of God's power, He showed her more, and she got a greater deliverance. You see, God tells us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And when you work out your salvation, you're going to be dealing with unresolved issues. You're going to be dealing with hidden stuff that you don't see. And God is showing me that He uses my problem to show me something that's hidden that I need to overcome. And so problems are good. They're not bad. There's always something God's trying to teach you in everything you go through. It's not the devil made me do it and, oh, you know, I've got a demon problem. No, we got God problems. I've got God problems. I sent out an email a few days ago, an example, and it was like having a log in your eye. You can know you have a log in your eye if the speck in someone else's eye is bothering you, but you can know for sure that the greater aggravation is the log you have in your own eye. Right after I sent that out, this eye, I felt like I had something in it. I felt like I really, now, God showed me that floaters have to do with judging. But the floater thing was not a painful thing. It was like I had an eyelash or something in my eye. So I looked in the mirror, I couldn't see nothing. It felt like there was something in my eye. And you know, the Lord showed me I did have splinters in my eye, spiritual splinters. And for 3 days, I started saying, okay, Lord, who is this person? Show me who to repent of. And for 3 days, I repented. My eye kept getting better and better and better. It is healed today because God showed me. And then I said, Lord, I take accountability for my forefathers who didn't deal with their logs. I was born with lots of logs because I was born with lots of eye problems. I mean, my generations before me was lots of eye problems. And so then I dealt with the generation stuff. And I thank the Lord that He sent His Word to heal me. About 3 or 4 months ago, I don't know when it was, but I could barely walk. I walk like Chester or Tim Conway like this. And I spent a whole day in the Word repenting over path, walk, flesh, leg, crippled, paralyzed, lame, every word that had to do. And I spent all day on a Friday for my seminar the next day. And the Lord showed me walking in the flesh, doing things in the flesh. The Bible says God does not take pleasure in the legs of a man, which is flesh. And then it says, cursed is the man who makes flesh his, trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. I've come out of generations of people that put their trust in man and their human flesh. My dad was the strongest man I've ever known. I respected him so much. And I honored that fleshly strength. And that's what the Lord showed me. And my leg today, there's not one trace of soreness. I didn't take no muscle relaxers or nothing. It was just, see, God wanted to show me through the Word of God, as I repented over the Word of God, He wanted to show me some things about my walk. And that corrected it. And I thank the Lord for that. And so when He said He sent His Word to heal you, that's what His Word, Jesus is the Word of God. And when we line ourselves up with the Word of God, healing comes. At my age, I'm not saying this boasting, I pray to God I always have the grace to go this route, and it's no condemnation. But I am on no medication, I do not have a doctor, I could care less about my cholesterol and my triglycerides and all of that garbage. I'm serious, but I do care about my sin count. And so when I get something wrong with me, if it's my arm, I start looking up scriptures on the arm. If it's my legs, I start looking up scriptures on the legs. You see, the Bible says in 3 John, Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. Now, I agree with everything Carla taught. I believe everything she said. So this is not a contradiction of her message. It's not either or, it's both. You know what I'm saying? And I thank the Lord that her and I pray together, and the Lord shows her stuff, the Lord shows me stuff, and it's a harmony of the Holy Spirit. But He sent His Word to heal you, and you say, well, I don't want to get, You know what? Sometimes I think the Lord's letting me have things just to give me an insight into eyes. I don't know how long ago, right after my dad died, I was diagnosed as, it was 3 or 4 years ago, I don't even remember when he died, but I was diagnosed with a bad eye problem. And the doctor said, if you don't go to a retina doctor, you'll be blind. And I said, I'm not going. My mother and daddy died of blind. And I'm not saying that boasting. I'll tell you, for 3 or 4 days, I was so discouraged. And I just had to say, Lord, I give my eyes to you. If you think I need my eyes, then I give that up to you. I don't want to be blind. But Lord, I give it to you. And I was like Debbie. I have repented. I mean, I was prayed up and confessed up. I couldn't think of one sin I needed to confess. I didn't know what the answer was. But when I got in the Bible and I started looking up all the scriptures on blind, eyes, see, vision, blindness, blinded, I thought, dear Lord, no wonder I have an eye problem. I saw so much sin in my life. You see, we don't know the answer, but He knows where the screws are missing and where to find them. The answer is right here in God's Word. Now, if you get sick and they anoint you with oil and they lay hands on you and they pray for you and you don't get well, then start looking for the spiritual root to why you've got what you've got. And I still, you know, I had them anoint me with oil at church. And he, the Bible says He sent His Word to heal us. Okay, go to, okay, now I want you to see, the next thing I want to take you through is to show you that Christians can be under a curse. We're taught that a Christian cannot be under a curse today. I want you to see in the Word of God in the New Testament that you can be under a curse. Okay, the first place I want you to go is Galatians chapter 5. So you see that the Old Testament, the New Testament, is just not, one's not better than the other, except we have a new covenant with better promises, better blood. It's better. Not the blood of bulls and goats, but the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And it's better blood. It's better everything. But the Word, the Scriptures, the disciples didn't even teach out of, they didn't teach out of the Old, the New Testament. They didn't even have it. They taught out of the Old Covenant, out of the Old Testament. They did. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Y'all understand how to do a word study? Whatever your symptom is, get you an exhaustive concordance and start looking up all the scriptures that have to do with your symptoms or if it's your feet, your legs. I've been healed of so many things. And I want to say this. I'm wearing the same glasses that I wore 8 years ago. I am. And I thank the Lord. I used to, when I was in my 50s, I could drive at night and I could not read the street signs. I can drive on the freeways of Houston, Texas at 73 years old almost and read those street signs crystal clear. Now that's a boasting in God that He sent His Word to heal me. Now I've had people lay hands on me and I've prayed for me. Carlos prayed for me. I don't know if Diane has, but Tom has prayed for me. That's good. Do that too. You need that because the scripture says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. Well, if I don't recover, and I still, you know what? I have not experienced a total manifestation of healing, but every day I'm thanking God for healing me. And I'm thanking the Lord, even for skin, I've had skin cancer. I just tell them, get off my nose. And you know what? They're disappearing. They're smaller than they were. When I was using that stuff, it didn't work. My nose looked worse than ever. Somebody told me to get some sunspot, and I was putting that on there, and it does take little tiny things off. But it finally, I thought, you know what? I need to trust the Lord. But I did a lot of repenting, and I'm still repenting. I'm still looking for answers. Okay, Galatians chapter 5. Lord, I ask you now to give revelation knowledge. Okay, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Do you see that? Now, demons are executors of God's law. When you break God's law, guess what? Psalms 91 is a picture of dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God. Here I'm safe. I get out here. There's a law out here. There's no law here. Because for me to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, I have to deny myself, take up my cross, and follow Him. I have to give up my life that I might find it. And when I die to me, the resurrected life of the Lord Jesus comes through. It's His love, His joy, His peace, His long-suffering, His gentleness, His goodness, His faith, His meekness, and His self-control. That's His character and nature. That's not me. That's not you. When you die to who you are, then Jesus Christ lives in His, He lives in your carton. His resurrected life comes through. Well, it tells us in verse 18, that we cannot do, it says, but if you're led by the, let's back up here, 17. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, that you may not do the things you please. Oh, I thought I was saved by grace. I could do whatever I wanted to, and there's no discipline. It says, but if you're being led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Do you see that? So could you say that if you're not being led by the Spirit, you are under the law? Would you say that? You're not under the law if you're led by the Spirit, right? So the opposite of that, if you're not being led by the Spirit, you do come back under the law. Because the law, whenever I'm walking in the flesh, I produce the flesh. It's not the character nature of Jesus. Jesus said, if any man comes after me, he has to deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow Jesus. He says in 1 Peter 4:1, arm yourself with the same purpose, for as Christ suffered in the flesh, so you suffered in the flesh, for in suffering, sin loses its power. So when I choose against what I want, my flesh suffers. Okay, let's read about if Jerry McGee's on the throne of her life, and this is the practice, God says, I won't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Verse 19, now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality. You know, church members think nothing of shacking up. In fact, many of the ministers that are supposed to be so anointed are carrying on affairs. This guy that was in Florida, this Todd Bentley guy, I mean, he had a drinking problem, plus he was having sex with his secretary, left his wife, and now some of these false prophets have supposedly have restored him, and his restoration consists of dumping his wife and marrying his shack up. But yet he's back in the ministry now. That's an abomination to God. Okay, it says, so sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness. That spirit of drunkenness that's going on in the church, it's a judgment. It's not a blessing. In fact, if you doubt that, don't take my word for it. I've got a little book here called Drunkenness. Is it a blessing or a curse? And in the book, it gives you every scripture about sober, alert, drunk, drunken, drunkenness. And you'll see there's not one place in the Bible that God's telling us to be drunk. He says, be sober for the purpose of prayer. I don't know about you, but I have a hard enough time being sober, much less being drunk. Okay, so, and then it says, envyings, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, so it's not an all-inclusive list, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Now, it's not a one-time sin. It's a practice, a habit. It's a habit of me not denying myself and taking up my cross. And it's a habit of Jerry McGee producing Jerry McGee versus the Spirit of God, resurrected life of the Lord Jesus coming through. And it says, if my life produces the fruit of the Spirit, there's no law. If you walk in the Spirit, there is no law. In other words, you could say, if you're denying yourself and taking up the cross, There is no law. You could say it that way. Or present your body to God as a living sacrifice. There is no law. It says in Romans that, in 1 Peter, arm yourself with the same purpose, for as Christ suffered in the flesh, so you suffer in the flesh. For in suffering, sin loses its power. Okay, so there's no law. Okay, let's go. If we're walking in the Spirit, there's no law. Okay, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Realizing the fact that law is not made for a righteous man, but for those who are lawless and rebellious, for the ungodly and sinners and unholy and profane, for those who kill their fathers and their mothers, for murderers and sexually immoral men and women, homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers. You think, oh, well, I'm not any of those. But then it says, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching. So any sin, the law is made for anybody that's walking in sin. And a good illustration of this is if I drive through Hot Springs and it's 30 miles an hour and I drive 40 miles an hour, I come back under the laws of Hot Springs, Arkansas. If I drive through Hot Springs and the speed limit is 35 and I'm driving 35, I'm not under the laws of Hot Springs until I violate them. You're not under the law till you disobey this word. And every place you disobey the word, you've got a demon problem. Can I say we've all been full of demons? Because, you know, deliverance in a nutshell is James 4:7. Give yourself to God and resist the devil and he'll flee. If I don't give myself to God, does it do any good for somebody to cast the demons out of him? There's some people that I won't even pray for that reason. You're wasting your time. Okay, go to Romans 3 says, the law speaks to those who are under the law. In Revelation 22, it says that if you add to, or let's just see this. Go to Revelation 22. Are you seeing that we can be under the curse? Okay, Revelation 22, verse 18. I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God shall add to him the plagues which are written in this book. Now, plague is all kinds of a destructive disease. So it's a dangerous thing to change this up, and there's going to be a lot of ministers that are going to have to stand before the Lord. There's going to be a lot of doctors that are going to have to stand before the Lord for people they killed. The first cause of people dying in America is heart disease. The second is cancer. The third and fourth is medical mistakes and prescription drugs. Every side effect of every drug is another disease. And so if you're trying to get healing and you're on about all these medication, and I'm not telling you to quit your medication, that's between you and God, but I'm telling you if you're trying to get healed, you go to the doctor and you say, doctor, I have a headache. I'm having headaches, so then it gives you something for your headache. Then it makes you sleepy. You want to sleep all the time. So you go back and you say, doctor, I'm just sleeping. I'm so tired. So then he gives you something to pep you up. And then that makes you nauseated. And you go back and, doctor, I've been so nauseated lately. Gives you something for nausea. That makes you sleep. You see, all of those have side effects. You know, illegal drugs is not even in the top 10 of killers in the United States. It's prescription drugs. Number 3 and number 4 killers of people. And I'm not telling you to not take your medication, but you know what? If you get deliverance, I think somebody said today that they used it, helped them till they could get to a certain place. And that's between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you what God's Word says. The more excellent way is to trust the great physician. And what drives us to the world is fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. And we are indestructible till God wants us. You can't even die till God wants you. That's a revelation. You know, I know, You know, one of the girls that I ministered to that came out of satanic ritual abuse, she was locked in freezers. She was buried alive. She was burned. She was tortured. If all the people I've ever known put together, multiplied by a million, has never gone through what she went through. And she's alive today. And it's a miracle, an absolute miracle. If I told the things they have done to her, I would sit and cry. It was so cruel. And she couldn't die. They tried to kill her, but God didn't let her die. And she's alive now, loving the Lord. Okay, where to go now? Okay, go to 1 Corinthians chapter... Well, let me just tell you what 1 Corinthians 11 says. If you take the Lord's Supper with sin in your life, some of you are weak and sick, and some of you have even died. How many times if we... In fact, I was in the church 25 years before a preacher ever taught that. But if you do know it, and you don't want Patty to know you're in sin, you just take it. You drink damnation to yourself, the Word says. If you are aware of that. I read that when I first got saved reading the Bible, and I'm thinking, why don't they teach that in church? Okay, the next place to go is 1 Corinthians 15. Are you see? Is it a blessing to be sick, weak, and die because you took the Lord's Supper in your with sin in your life? That's not a blessing. That's a curse. Okay, 1 Corinthians, I think it's 16. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36, it says, you fool. No, that's not it. But you know what? You fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So we have to die to produce the fruit of the Spirit. So that's a good verse. Okay, the verse 22 says, 16:22 says, Paul said, if anyone does not love the Lord, let him be accursed. Now John 14 says, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Is that right? So you could say, if anyone does not love God and keep his commandments, he's accursed. Is that right? And for several years, I prayed that the Lord would show me the New Testament verse that said a Christian could be under a curse. So I want you to go to Galatians chapter 3, and I'm glad Patty gave the word penetrate because I want God wants this to penetrate your heart and stick there and never forget it. Because it's the Word of God, it's not my word. Okay, now we've all heard this scripture, 13. This is quoted all the time. And it's true, praise God. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms... Well, I don't need to read that. Anyway, we've all heard the scripture that Jesus died and that he broke the curse and that so that the blessings of Abraham come upon us. Now, that's true. But they always leave verse 10 out. Look at verse 10. For as many as are the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in this book of the law to perform them. Now, are we in the New Testament? Okay, so we can be under a curse. What time did we start? When y'all start getting tired, you start squirming, okay? No, I'm not going to. The Lord will tell me when to quit, and I won't wear you out, I hope. I hope and pray. Okay, go to Deuteronomy 28. Let's read there. Now, we know the Old Testament's important, and we know the curses are for today. And so let's just read these curses. The blessings are, let's read the blessings first because we're going to hear the good news. Deuteronomy 28. Now this is the blessings, and we want to live under blessings. It says, now it shall come about if you will diligently obey the Lord your God, being careful to do according to all that is written in His commandments. 28:1. Lord your God, being careful to do His commandments, which I command you today. The Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Now, isn't that a good thing to know now? The nations of the earth, a lot of them are our enemies. He's going to set us high above that, the terrorists. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall be you in the city. Now, I want you to start. If you've got a pen, circle the ones that you think you're under. Are you blessed in the city? If you don't feel like you're blessed anywhere you go, you need to put that, you need to circle that. Gail, do me a favor. Would you look up Deuteronomy in that Bible because it's a little bit easier to read? Yeah, Deuteronomy 28, and bring it to me if you will. It says, "And all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you if you will obey the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the blessed shall be the offspring of your body and the produce of your ground and the offspring of your beast, the increase of your herd and the young of your flock. Blessed shall you be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before you. They shall come out against you one way and shall flee before you seven ways." You don't have to worry about the Muslims or Islam or the terrorists. God says that the enemy will come against you one way and he will flee seven ways. That's good news. And there's another scripture in Psalms that says, "Foreigners submit to me." When they hear my voice, they tremble and they come trembling out of their fortresses. And if there's foreigners here in this land already that are out to hurt you, the key is we've got to dwell in the secret place of the Most High God and abide under His shadow and protection through denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Him. Now, all of us are a work in progress. This is not to put condemnation on anybody. If you grew up being loved based on your performance, you hear a word like this, you think, "Oh, dear God, I got a performer. God's going to kill me." He would have already killed us. I mean, I'd have been dead a long time ago. So get on the potter's wheel. A person that's been loved based on their performance, you're trying to turn the potter's wheel yourself. That's legalism. Yet all the clay has to do is yield to the potter. The potter takes out the trash. He turns the potter's wheel. He adds water to be pliable. He knows you're a mess. And the Lord gave me that years ago because I would teach 40-hour seminars where I would read the Bible for 3 days. And I'd see people's face, "Oh, dear God, he's going to kill me." And the Lord showed me that they thought, "Oh, God's going to say, Clay, you're too bad," and chunk you. God knows you're but dust. He's the potter, but you got one thing to do, and that's yield to the potter. The potter does everything else, but he won't yield for you. He won't surrender his life. He won't surrender you to himself. That's your choice. And so that helps people to know God's not going to throw you away. He knows your clay's full of junk. He knows that I can tell you, I've confessed, a lot of you are as repentant as you know how to be, but there's so much more we don't see. So God lets us have a problem to kick up. When everything's going great, we don't think we're off in la la land. We don't think we have to deal with anything. I thank the Lord that He's got an answer to all of our problems. Every last one of them. But His promises are conditional. In not salvation, you're saved by grace through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God and not of you, lest any man should boast. God commended His love toward you while you were yet sinners. He died for you. He loves you with an everlasting love. And He says, "Come to me." He said, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble, and you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. So you've got to submit and yield and choose death to your flesh. And it's something we all have to do. It's a process. And as Debbie was saying, sharing today, how long is it going to take? It's going to take a lifetime, because sanctification is a lifetime. Jesus paid it all. He made provision. And you know, if you don't obey to be saved, you obey because you are. And you can be as obedient as you think you ought to be and just walking in peace. And then a problem picks up and you can get into unforgiveness. You can get into anger. But you just choose against yourself every time. It's not easy either, especially if the people that you feel are mistreating you are idols. It's taken me about 10 years to die to a few idols of people. But I can tell you, when I did, restoration came. You make an idol out of a person, they'll reject you every time. In fact, when you make an idol out of somebody, you make them sick. It says, a satiated, glutted man hates honey. But to any famished man, anything bitter is sweet. So, sometimes we give our idols too much honey. Okay. And it's sickening to them. And you know, when you make an idol out of a person, you watch that person, and if they don't do what you think they ought to do, your whole day takes a nosedive. Isn't that right? God's the only one that won't disappoint us. So when you get rejected by your idol, it's really your fault. It really is. That's what the Lord showed me. Okay, let's keep reading in Deuteronomy 28. It says, the Lord will command the blessings upon you and your barns and all that you put your hand to do, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people unto himself, as he swore to you, if you will keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. So all the people of the earth, that's all the terrorists, all the Islamists, it's all of the Chinese army, it's all the enemies you have. They're going to see that you're called by the name of the Lord, and they're going to be afraid of you. Hallelujah. That is a tremendous promise. And the Lord will make you abound in prosperity in the offspring of your body and in the offspring of your beast and in the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open for you his good storehouse, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand, and you shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Hallelujah. You see, the credit cards are a curse. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail, and you only shall be above and you shall not be underneath, if you will listen to the commandments of the Lord your God, which I charge you today to observe them carefully, and do not turn aside from any of the words which I command you today, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. You know, it says in the Bible that wherever Peter went, his shadow healed. But if you do a word study on shadow, you see that Peter was dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. And if you're walking in obedience to the Lord, you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God under the shadow of the Almighty. And that means wherever you go, the atmosphere around you changes. People will be healed. They'll be saved and they'll be delivered because of God overshadowing you. When God showed me that, I see, even, you know, my grandson, when he was like 16 is when I took him to New York City. He wanted to go to Times Square Church. And something that really impressed him, and I shared with him 2 years later, I said, David, do you see how God was overshadowing us before? Because wherever we went, whoever we witnessed to, it was like we passed out so many little tracts on how you can know where you'll spend eternity. Only two that weren't Muslim. We never had not one of them reject us. I told this Muslim taxi driver, I said, you know what? The American news media has given y'all a bad rap. I mean, I don't believe in Islam, but there's good people. The news media is stirring the mess to make you afraid of the Muslims. which contradicts God's Word. One guy said, "My name is Abraham." I said, "You're the father of many nations." He said, "My name is Abraham." He drove us all the way to the airport. It was a $40 trip. And he hugged me. He said, "I'm not going to charge you nothing." He said, "Remember to pray for me. My name is Abraham." I told David, I said, "Do you see that wherever we went, we were protected? It was like it's like God had protection over us." The only two people that rejected us were two ladies that weren't Muslim. One waitress that was a cocktail waitress in a restaurant. I want to say we were drinking. And another one was a New Age lady that worked for the zoo. I don't believe that. But just know that when you are walking in covenant with the Lord, He is your covenant partner. And no weapon formed against you will prosper. Nobody can hurt you. Nobody can kill you till God's ready for you. Amen. So always be ready. No, it's <I'm> just... Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, now for the curses, and I want you to circle the ones that you think apply to you, and in a minute we're going to break them. Verse 15, "But it shall come about if you will not obey the Lord your God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the country. Cursed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the offspring of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herd, and the young of your flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send upon you curses of confusion." Can Christians get confused? Yes. "And rebuke in all you undertake to do until you're destroyed and until you perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds, because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence cling to you," now that's sickness, "until he has consumed you from the land where you are entering to possess it." And I looked up the word pestilence a while ago, and it means a contagion, a contagious infection, epidemic that is violent and devastating and destructive of life. So the pestilence, it's going to cling to you. "The Lord will smite you with consumption," that's a wasting lung disease, "and with fever." Can Christians have fever, lung problems, inflammation? And then they say, "Christians can't be under a curse." Well, then maybe you're lost, huh? Because you can. "The Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, with fiery heat, with the sword, with blight, with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish." You know, when my son died of AIDS, all of this he had. Fever, 105. Inflammation, fiery heat, blight, candida, mildew. And God's doing it. The Lord will smite you. "And the heaven which is over your head..." You see that the devil is just God's... the devil just is... The demons are executors of God's law. You break God's law and you have a demon problem. The blessings are carried out by the holy angels. "Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who watches over his word to perform it." And the devil watches over his word to perform it, which is the contradiction of the word of God. The demons carry out the curses. The holy angels carry out the blessings. And you can walk wherever you go and have holy angels going with you. So many times I have so many stumps in around my property where I've cut trees down and couldn't afford to use a stump grinder. And I've tripped so many times and I'm saying, "Oh God, thank you for not letting me hurt myself. Oh God, thank you." They will deliver you from the snare of the trapper. They will catch your foot and keep you from falling. And they're all over your property when you abide in the Word of God. Okay, let's keep reading. It says, hold your place and go to Proverbs 26. Tom quoted this scripture. So we're sick, and we just read that sickness is a curse. Proverbs 26:2. It says in verse 2, "Like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, so a curse without a cause does not alight." Okay, so I just read that sickness is a curse, and I'm going to the doctor And I'm not criticizing anybody for going to the doctor. I've been to the doctor myself. I've still got the scars to prove it. I'm not kidding either. I've got a lot of scars from the doctor. But, okay, so I'm under a curse, and you just read a curse without a cause. Can I lie? Can I tell you no human being can get that curse off you? Only God can remove the curse.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.